I stewed on the fruits of the Spirit that we have and those gifts that we're given, and I stewed on those branches that support us and help us to be able to do what we do, and I had no doubt in my mind of what the trunk is that holds us all together. And so to introduce what I see as the trunk in our metaphorical tree of our faith life, I bring us this video to introduce us. I think Central Christian Church gets it. And yes, I intentionally left it so they could have their credits since they were the ones that did this. But I think they get it. What is the trunk that holds us together? It's this great, big, gigantic, huge word called the church. And not to be misconceived, the church is not a building, right? We all know the story. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a building. You open it up. The church is the... Hey, y'all went to Sunday school. Yay. The church is the people, and what is the church intended to be? I think they hit it right on the head. What is the church? It's welcoming, it's hospitable, it's grace-filled, it's forgiving. It's a place not where people have it figured it out, but people are trying to figure it out. A place where people come to be healed, a place where people come to be made whole, a place where people come to be in, what was the great word that they used? To be in relationship, right? Because that's ultimately what the church is. It's a place for us to be able to be in relationship with God and to be able to be in relationship with God in how we are connected together. Now, where is the church? I found the church all over the world. I found the church in travels on mission trips. I've found the church in camps. I've found the church on the beach. I found a great witness of the church on a beach in Santa Barbara as I stood freezing cold a winter's day on the beach, and I watched as my first college roommate that I had walked out in a wetsuit into the waves where she was baptized by her pastor on the beach, where she went under in her old self and came up in her new self. And there's maybe six of us gathered on the beach, but that was the church right there in that place. I've found the church up in the mountains. I've found the church in the desert. I've found the church in homes. I've found the church in buildings like this, of sanctuaries and fellowship halls and basements and every other place. But the most important thing in all of those is what's going on with the people. I've never seemed to find the church when I'm all by myself. I mean, I spend time in here before worship every Wednesday. I spend time in here just me, myself. But it doesn't feel like the church. It feels like a building that's bursting with expectation. A building that's expecting people to come in with their passions, to come in with their prayers, to come in with their hurts, to come in with their joys, but coming in to be with other people and to be here with God. That's the church that I see. But how do we see this best, this church that we're trying to see, this church that we're trying to be? Because, you know, I struggled. I watched this video, and it had the comment section underneath, and I really need to be banned from reading comment sections, whether it's on videos that are posted or newspaper articles, news articles, or anything like that, because the comment section always makes me just want to put my hand through the computer screen. I'll admit, it's probably one of the most angriest I get, because people all of a sudden, when they're anonymously behind a screen name and don't have to look at people in the face, all of a sudden, like, the ugliest side of them comes out. And here I am reading the comments on this video, and people just slamming the church. People just calling the church every name that you could think of. Yes, vulgarity's in there. And talking about how horrible it is and how it's hurt them and these bad experiences and all of these perceptions that they've had of the church. And it just made me so upset to be reading them. Because it's not the church that I know, and it's not the church that I've experienced. And every single one of those people with all those hurtful words, I just wanted to embrace them and say, you know, let me introduce you to the church that I know. Let me introduce you to the kind of people who represent the church that I think that you would fall in love with like I've fallen in love with. that would embrace you and hear your story and want to walk with you in your life. Because that's the church that I see. But how do we get to that place of changing that perception? And I was thinking of a silly thought when I got to that. I know you've all done it, so nobody try to claim that you haven't. You've all stood behind the painted plywood and put your face through a hole and all of a sudden put yourself on a body or an image that is anything but you, right? I mean, it's Halloween. Everybody's put their face behind a pumpkin or a ghost or a witch or something like that. Admit it, we've all done it, right? We found the silliest places to stick our head through, and with the Lederhosen at Oktoberfest, we've done it on all sorts of things. We stick our heads through and we laugh at the pictures as we look back upon it, on the silliness of our face on these outrageous images that aren't us. But here I see the church in that shape on that plywood. Sometimes it's awfully silly looking what the church is. Sometimes it just seems like this hodgepodge mess that's trying to get itself together. Believe me, I've seen some of the hodgepodge messes. I've seen some of the churches that look pretty silly in their hypocrisy that proclaim love, but then somebody a little different walks in and basically gets booted to the curb, and my heart just weeps. But I've also seen where people think the outrageous nature of a church that welcomes anybody in and says, you know what? You smell the high heaven because you live on the street. You have no idea what you're doing in here, but come sit next to me and let me open my hymnal for you so you can sing along with me, and then let me help you be the first in line to get a cookie after church, because we love that you're here and we want you to be here instead of out there on the street, because we think that there's something that you can have in here that's unique from anywhere else. To a lot of people, that looks outrageous, that people inside of these walls would behave that way. But what happens? We've got this outrageous church that brings diverse groups of people together from all walks of life doing weird things that almost seem cultish, okay? If you're an outsider, it seems cultish that when those first three notes of the doxology plays, everybody just stands up without anybody telling them to. Have you ever thought about what that seems like to an outsider? Wait a second, why are you standing up? Why is everybody standing up? Why is everybody saying the same thing as if you all know it and I have no idea what you're doing? It can seem pretty strange. But here's the church and what it looks like. But then we've got that hole where the head is supposed to be. And when this body of people, all of these branches and all of this fruit has its heart in just the right place and is desiring to be just what it's supposed to be, and it's trying its best, what pops through that hole but Jesus' face, right? Jesus' face comes through and he says, here I am. Because when you look back at those silly pictures, no matter how silly that image is, what's the most important thing in that picture but the faces? Whether it's you or the friend that you're with or your little baby that you're holding up that has no idea what's going on, but you want that face in that shot. That's what's the most important. And as we look at the church, we see in Colossians, it says the Son, that is Jesus, if you didn't know, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones of powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. Have we figured out who Jesus is? That Jesus is God, created to be God, to come onto this earth. God created him to be here for us, right? But then we go into 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What is Jesus? The one that holds all things together. And then look at this when we get to 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Do you see that image in there? Do you see that image in there of what Christ is? Christ is the one that pulls us all together. Now let's think to our giving tree. Because as I've gone from this head image in there, that holding together, if we are the fruit and the branches are all those that support us, all the people around us, and if you were here on Sunday, we saw how we are the branches and what we're able to do. And then what is that trunk that holds all of us together but Jesus Christ, the head of the church, right? Because we as a church are nothing without him. We are nothing without the forgiving nature of who he is and what he did on the cross. Because he did that for us, that grace he gave to us. But then he says, okay, now as my branches, you are my offshoots. And as my church, I send you out to be my grace givers. I send you out so that you can be the fruit that's reaching out to people and taking care of them as the church, so that you can be the embodiment of love, so that you can be the embodiment of hospitality, so that you can be the embodiment of compassion and peace. He says, I pull you all together as the church, as this mighty force to be reckoned with. But guess what? I'm gonna be the head of it. God bless, it's not gonna be the pastor. Hallelujah, it's not gonna be in any human hands to be the head of it, the most visible face of it, the one who controls everything, but it becomes Jesus as just that. I loved that our scripture used the word supremacy. I would love to have Jesus supreme in my life and in my leadership, to where he has full and ultimate control, because I'd much rather it be him than me, because I know what he chooses to do is going to be in greatness, that it's going to be more than I could ever imagine. And that's what we get to be as the church. Whether it's in a building, whether it's outside, whether it's on the road, whether it's in homes, whether it's two of us, 200 of us, or 2,000 of us, that we are the church of Jesus Christ, that he welcomes us in just as we are, not as we should be. Imperfect, in need of his grace, in need of his love, in need of being somebody that fits in. And that's what he pulls us together to be. And there's something wonderful in that, that we get to call ourselves the church that's lasted over 2,000 years. And has left Jesus' footprints all over this earth and all over hearts. And so tonight, let's give thanks to Jesus for being the church and blessing us with the church and allowing us to be the church. But also let's ask Jesus to bless our church, to ask Jesus to guide us as a church, to ask Jesus to fill this church with his Holy Spirit, to be doing his will as he sees his will needing to be done, to be strengthening it by pulling us closer together and by sending us out. Let us go to God in prayer with that. God, we give you thanks that you give us your church, that you have blessed us with the people of the church, the buildings of the church, the ministry of the church, the mission of the church, that you have brought us together as one body of Christ to be just that, and that you have put your son as the head of the church, that you have put him as the face of it, the heart of it, the purpose of it. And we just pray that you will help us to understand what it means to be the church, what it means to be your body here on earth, in our worship, in our study, in our fellowship, in all of the things that we do, so that we can be a unified body in mission for what you need for us to be. We give you thanks for this place. We give you thanks for this body. And we give you thanks for all of your love that you give us. For this we pray in your most mighty name. Amen.